Today, we have a story about a progressive advocate and a GOP district chair working together to free an ICE detainee who's from their community. Also, we have a confession. In yesterday's intro, we quoted Shakespeare's Juliet and attributed the line, "What's in a name?" to our founder in the first editorial we ever published. The editorial is titled, "Something in a Name." Maybe there's something in a mistake, too. Juliet was lamenting the name of Romeo's clan, which had long been at odds with hers. "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet," she says. But our founder, Mary Baker Eddy, may have been arguing the opposite, that a name is important and gives definition to something. Maybe that's why she gave us a name that exemplifies the journalistic ideals of honesty and transparency. It's Thursday, December 4th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The European Commission advanced a plan to fund Ukraine using a loan backed by frozen Russian state assets. That's despite opposition from Belgium, where most of the Russian funds are held. Some analysts say the plan could amount to confiscation and violate international law. Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said the 90 billion euros, or $105 billion plan, would allow Ukraine to engage in ongoing peace talks from a position of strength. The scientific journal Nature retracted a widely cited study that said climate change is on track to slash more than 60% of economic output by the year 2100, after economists found that one outlier had substantially skewed the data. Removing problematic data from Uzbekistan, the economic losses would amount to 23% of output, closer to what previous studies had found. Some researchers are pushing for studies that consider specific, real-world questions rather than making long-term predictions. Also, West Virginia reinstated a school vaccine mandate after the state's Supreme Court paused a lower court ruling allowing religious exemptions. One mother had filed a lawsuit in June arguing that the state's vaccine mandate violates a 2023 religious freedom law. In recent years, Maine, New York, and Connecticut have also barred families from citing religious beliefs to opt out of vaccines. Nearly 30 states and Washington, D.C. allow religious exemptions. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. For political opponents to find common ground on immigration matters seems rare. Yet in Arizona, a progressive activist and a Republican district party chair are uniting around a detained woman who has been a positive force in her community. Sarah Matusik reports from Peoria, Arizona, for The Monitor. It may look like business as usual when Vladimir Putin and Narendra Modi meet in Delhi this week, but the Russian and Indian leaders are under pressure to show they won't be swayed by Donald Trump. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for The Monitor. When it comes to religious tolerance, this town in Senegal goes beyond live and let live. Here, people of different faiths find strength in their diversity. Colette Davidson and contributor Asuli Deado report from Fadjout, Senegal, for The Monitor. Legends get frozen in time and collective memory, but they were people first, scholar Bobby Donaldson points out. He tells Ken Macon, "There was very little in 1908 in Baltimore that would have predicted that Thurgood Marshall would be the first African-American member of the Supreme Court." Ken Macon reports for The Monitor. In this roundup of cookbooks, authors like Jacques Pépin and Samin Nosrat share how their personal creative processes in the kitchen can have a harmonizing, restorative effect. Kendra Nordine Biado writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on liberation from migrant labels. Immigration, both legal and illegal, is a hot topic in Western nations. Governments are taking measures to restrict the flow, and citizens are debating how to maintain a national identity while integrating those bringing different cultures and values. In the United States, the issue has gone from boil to broil in the wake of two recent events, the shooting of two National Guard members, one of whom has died, and revelations of large-scale fraud in the use of Minnesota's pandemic relief funds. The alleged perpetrators are from communities made up largely of legal immigrants. An Afghan national who served alongside American troops has been charged in the shootings, and the large majority of those arrested in the fraud case have Somali roots. President Donald Trump has now halted all immigration requests from Afghanistan and 18 other countries, and ordered a re-examination of every single Afghan allowed into the U.S. since its 2021 military withdrawal. He also called for immigration raids in Minneapolis, using derogatory language about Somalis. Pursuing justice and controlling immigration are a government's rightful prerogatives. It is also not unreasonable, as the Washington Post wrote, to expect new arrivals to be enthusiastic about their adopted country, adding, and the reality is that most are. American society and Minnesota have been extremely good to Somalis, a Somali-American professor told the New York Times. Many who fled their country's civil war and corruption, he noted, had learned to survive through illegal means. Now, the illegal actions of some burden the entire community, another Somali-American told the Times, making it easier for people already inclined to reject us to double down. As with Somalis, thousands of Afghan immigrants are also building lives and community connections around the country. It would be a shame if this single act of betrayal, the National Guard ambush, became the excuse for deporting all Afghan refugees in the U.S., the Wall Street Journal wrote. To thrive, democracy requires trust and respect for individual dignity and cultural contributions. As more people avoid collective condemnation or the assigning of guilt by association, that will help uphold calm and reasoned action. Just a few days after 9/11, then-President George W. Bush visited a mosque and urged Americans not to avenge the attacks by lashing out at innocent Arabs and Muslims. After the 2015 Charlie Hebdo magazine killings in Paris, France's president voiced similar sentiments, as did the British Prime Minister last year after three girls were killed by a young man of Rwandan ancestry. Will something similar now occur in the U.S. to prevent collective punishment of all Afghans and Somalis living here? If so, standing up for this simple justice would make America safer. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor asks, do we need to be personally in control of our lives, or can we trust God? Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.